Tonight we're going to be talking about kindness. Kindness. And I want to ask you, how would you define kindness? How would you define kindness? Anyone want to give it a shot? John? Being polite and helpful. Good. What else?
Being caring.
Caring. Absolutely. Any other thoughts?
Doing
nice things for people. Absolutely. Absolutely. I looked up the dictionary definition, and they did something I thought you was never supposed to do. They used the word in it, like kindness, and they'd say basically being kind to someone. Like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. But I did find a pretty good definition. It pretty much goes along with what you said. Being gentle, caring, and helpful. And I added kind of going the extra mile, doing something special for someone. And as I thought about this quite a bit about kindness, you know, it starts now. Thank you, Bubba. You're doing a good job. He was holding this for me. It starts with a smile on the face. It goes beyond just a smile on the face, but it should start with a smile on our face. That really, whenever we smile, we are showing kindness to other people. Because there's a lot of people. I mean, how many of you like to be around snarling people? Or when you talk to them and they're just snarling at you. You know, a cashier maybe at the Food Lion or someone at the bank or even someone you're talking to on the phone, you know that they're not smiling. You don't see them, but they're like, ah, ah, ah. It helps when you smile, doesn't it? So to me, a smile is the beginning of kindness, but that smile should extend to our tongue, and we should say kind things and nice things. Then it should extend to our fingers so that we help people with our hands and do kind things, right? And then I believe it should extend even to our feet where we go the extra mile and help people in our service to them. Y'all agree with that? So we're talking about put on kindness. We're in Colossians chapter 3. We've been there for a while, a lot longer than I figured we would be, but that's okay. It's God's time and God's time schedule, right? Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1 and we're going to look at verse 12. It talks about kindness. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, writing to Christians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Past tense. Used to be that way. But now ye have also put off all these. Put this off as well. Now these things up there shouldn't be part of your life. Put them to death in your life. Verse 8. But put these off. All these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. It says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So basically, we're supposed to learn more and more from the Word of God. And by doing so, we should begin to look more and more like Jesus and be in the image of Jesus. It says, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So the differences we may see in life, if we know Jesus, they've dissolved. There is no difference. There is no division. But Christ is supposed to be everything to us. And it says, as such, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, special to God, specially loved by God, bowels of mercies. Remember last week we talked about that? Bubba is such a big help. He has on these glasses, if you will, of compassion. So we're supposed to look through glasses of compassion toward other people. It talks about bowels of mercies. We talked about probably if we would apply it and put it in terms that we use, a heart of compassion. So we need to look at people through glasses of compassion the way the Lord does. But now here's the word that we're looking at. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. And there it is, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But there's that word, kindness. There's that word, kindness. Now, I thought I'd begin with an illustration I thought was pretty good, a good demonstration of kindness. This is spoken by someone who works for David C. Cook Church Ministries. He's, that they put out Sunday school literature and different things. Some of you may have had that at different times. But this, what I take to be a preacher, wrote, shortly after I arrived in the U.S., I was invited to speak at a banquet in one of the big Chicago hotels. My wife and I decided to drive down to the Windy City together. Left ourselves plenty of time to find our way around. As we approached Chicago, I noticed we were getting low on gas. But I knew there would be plenty of filling stations. When we suddenly came to a halt in the fast lane of the freeway, in the rush hour, with the rain pouring down, I realized my assumptions about filling stations were wrong, as my tank was now empty. How would you like to run out of gas in Chicago in the fast lane? I climbed out of my car to be greeted by a chorus of horns expressing displeasure and expletives filling in the details. There was nothing I could do and less than anyone else was ready to do. So I stood in the rain, and like the sailors on Paul's sinking ship, I wished for the day. One particularly dilapidated car drew alongside. The driver rolled down his window. I braced myself for more verbal abuse, but was relieved that his English was so bad I couldn't understand it. About 15 minutes later, the same car returned in a mass of traffic and pulled up in front of mine. The driver jumped out and without a word proceeded to replenish my tank from a can. He had seen my plight, gone to a filling station off the freeway, borrowed a can, gotten back on the freeway, fought the traffic, and came to my rescue. When I tried to thank him, he shrugged and said, You look kind of new around here. Me, I just came from Puerto Rico Friday. Ain't nobody do nothing for nobody in this city. And with that, he was gone. That was generosity and kindness in a rusty Chevy. You know, the Bible tells us that every day of our life when we get up, we're supposed to put on certain things. And this is really where I've been aiming the whole time getting in this series. We looked at one last week. And this one is kindness. We need to put on kindness every day of our life. You see, if anybody should show kindness, it ought to be a Christian. The Bible has a fair amount to say about kindness. Point number one tonight, our God is a God of kindness. Our God is a God of kindness. Several verses here, if you want to turn to these passages, I'll try to turn to them. Sometimes what gets me is they're kind of hard to find. So I'll try my best to find some of these, and we'll look at these verses. But it's under the title of Our God is a God of Kindness. Psalm 117, there's only two verses in that whole chapter. But listen to what it says. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Why? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Aren't you glad that his merciful kindness is great toward us? Aren't you glad that he shows us kindness, goes out of his way to treat us with mercy and goodness and do good things for us? Wow. If we have that kind of God, don't you think we ought to show it to other people? In Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, Joel chapter 2, let me read that. This minor prophet writes, Chapter 2, verse 13 of Joel. Let's see. chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, talking to the children of Israel, and he says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. Listen, why should they do that? Because, for he, that's our God, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Aren't you thankful that God shows us kindness? Now, some people, I think, take the qualities of God just kind of like a, you know, like, oh, big whoopee deal. You know, we've heard this all our life. But just think about it. God didn't have to be a kind God. I mean, you ever had just those blessings in a day? I mean, something goes right. Like, wow. You know, it sounded like Megan had one of those days when she overheard this VBSer, right? It was kind of like one of those little blessings. I would say that's a kindness of God. We were able to go down to North Carolina and back and spend some time with the boy. That's a kindness from God. Now, can you breathe in? It's actually a good exercise. Breathe in your nose and breathe out. Big, deep breath. You can do that because of the kindnesses of God. God just gives us special blessings during the day. One of them we take for granted is air. We have sunshine. We did get some rain. That's a kindness of God, right? Now, I don't know how much was here, but boy, it came down in North Carolina. I mean, we're talking about lots and lots of rain. They've been through a dry spell too, but where we were, a lot of rain had fallen since. But our God is a God of kindness. You know, anything you can think of that made your day special. Now, I know we have downer days. I get it. We have days that seem like everything is going wrong. But really, that's a perception and not reality. Because every day that we have is a blessing. There are certain blessings in every day. And those blessings, sometimes that make it special or put a smile on our face. It's because of the kindness of God. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. Remember the story of Jonah, him running away, not doing what God wanted him to do? He did that because he didn't want to go, right, to Nineveh. So he tried to run the opposite direction. And then remember, they all repented. And then Jonah makes a statement. He says, it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, of Jonah. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly that God was not going to destroy Nineveh, and he was very angry. But listen to what he says. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. There it is, and of great kindness. And repentest thee of the evil. You know, if the Old Testament not good enough for you, in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. We're looking under the title, Put on Kindness. The point number one, our God is a God of kindness. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. These are the very words of Jesus. Notice what he says about his heavenly Father. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Luke 6, 35. It says, as he teaches, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he, here it is, for he, talking about God the Father, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. You know, our God is not only kind to his children. He's kind, it says right there, to the unthankful and even to the evil. You say, well, how is he kind? Well, they got breath, they got sunshine, they get rain, they get employment, they have resources, they have cars, they have houses, they have family usually. So God is even kind to them and showing them kindness. You know, you may think, well, God is just good to those that are his. Well, God is good to everybody. That's his very nature. And his nature is also kindness. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know, I find it so amazing that many, especially of the lost crowd, they want to blame God for everything that goes wrong in their life. I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't so sad, would almost be funny. Because they have made a wreck of their life. And just like a for instance, well, they drunk until they could hardly walk. They got in their car and they wrecked their car and they killed somebody or killed someone in their family. And they're like, God is so unjust. Well, who in the world drank the beer? Who in the world got in the car? We want to blame God for every bad thing that happens, but we don't want to give him credit for all the good things that happens. And I hope that's not you and I, but he says he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You see, our God is a God of kindness. In Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Paul writes to Titus, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So we used to be like that, but listen, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Wow. And it goes on to say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know what I believe this kindness, I think it's talking about the greatest kindness that God ever showed us. You know what that was? Jesus. It says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I used to be this way, but guess what? After Jesus came and I've trusted him, I'm now this way. Isn't that a great kindness of God in salvation? You know, listen, God didn't have to show us the kindness of salvation. God didn't have to send his son Jesus to die for us. God didn't have to do that at all. He could have let us get what we deserve, a godless hell forever and ever. But because of his kindness, he went out of his way, if you will. He did something in his gentleness and his goodness to help us. He went the extra mile. Our God is a God of kindness. This is really good. Are you ready for this? Put a smile on your face. This is really good. I just want to get ready, put a smile on your face before you actually smiled later, so you'd be ready, okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Listen to this verse. We're talking about our God is a God of kindness. It says in Ephesians 2, 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now let's break that down just a little bit, okay? It says in the verse before that, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Talking about God the Father. We're going to be in heaven someday if we know Jesus. Amen to that. Come on, Bubba, get with it, man. You got your cool shades on, but you can still say amen, all right? Okay. So we're going to be in heaven. But listen to what's going to happen throughout all the ages of heaven. Listen to what's going to be going on. That in the ages to come, he, that's God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If you want to break it down, God's going to show us throughout all the ages of eternity, he's going to show us his kindness. Man, again, he created heaven. Jesus prepared heaven and those mansions and those streets of gold and a new heaven and a new earth. He did all of that for us in every single moment of every single day of our time in heaven. We're not going to mark it off in 24-hour periods anymore. It's just going to be eternity. But if we would, every single moment we can look around and say, wow, this is the kindness of God. Man, that's enough to make Most Christians say amen. Number one, our God is a God of kindness. Number two, this may have slipped your brain just a little bit. Are you ready for this? You say, preacher, that's one of my favorite activities anymore, the slipping of the brain. It seems to happen all the time. Okay, here you go. Point number two, put on kindness. Number one, our God is a God of kindness. Number two, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, we're going to turn there. Galatians chapter 5. In fact, it's the same exact Greek word, okay? Now, the King James translates it gentleness. So that may have thrown us a little bit. But it actually is the same word as is translated in the passage we're looking at in Colossians as kindness. So both of them work because gentleness is part of kindness and kindness is part of gentleness. So it's not necessarily a bad translation. But what I'm saying is that same word, that same quality is a fruit of the Spirit. Listen, it says in Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now what exactly does that mean, the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't fruit something that's produced? And when it says the fruit of the Spirit, what Spirit? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, right? I got bad news for you if you think you're going to be God or you are God. You are not God, but God lives inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And it says the fruit of the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a child of God, this fruit, this is what should come out. This is what should show. It mentions nine of them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. There it is. Gentleness. The same word. That kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. If we know Jesus, it ought to be happening. We ought to be showing kindness to the people around us. We ought to be kind people. There is no excuse for a Christian to be all hateful and miserable and ugly and snarly and short and snippy with their word. There is no excuse for that. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and our lives to make us sweet, to make us kind. You know, every once in a while, this doesn't happen often, but you can meet a total stranger just for a little bit, and you talk to them just a little bit. And after you're done, you're saying, you know, maybe it even came up, but they're a child of God. Amen. And they're so sweet and they're so kind, and they just have that certain persona about them. Now, I know some of that has to do with personality. Some people are very backward and all that. But I am telling you that people ought to know we're Christians because of our kindness. And remember, our kindness should start with a smile. And you say, preacher. You're actually saying that we should smile. I don't like smiling. Well, sorry about that. We need to make sure that as a child of God, we're smiling. Kindness begins with a smile. And as we've hopefully made clear, it extends to our tongue and the words we say, and it extends to our fingers and the actions in which we do for other people, and to our feet going the extra mile for people around us, showing kindness to the people around us. Christians ought to be the most kind people around. I mean, seriously, when people of the world are around us, the lost in particular, or even the saved, they ought to say, you know, there's something different about John. You know, there's something different about Larry. There's something different about Cheryl. There's something different about Linda. Because we are showing the kindness of the Lord. We have it in our heart. We have it living in the Holy Spirit. And that fruit it's producing. And the smile that we show. And the words that we say. And the actions that we do. And the extra mile that we walk. Kindness is big. Every day we need to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to show kindness. Now let me ask you, is it always easy to show kindness? You know, usually if someone is kind to us, it's not that difficult to show kindness back. But what if, now what if they show meanness to us? Or they show that snarl? Or they show that bad attitude? It's hard. But we still should show them kindness, right? I read this story. I don't think the people would actually mean anything to you, but I know someone, the story goes that someone was going to meet someone at like a train station or something. And they said, well, how will I know them? Well, you'll know them because they're the ones showing kindness and helping people out. And they said, sure enough, they showed up and there they were showing kindness, a smile and helping people out. That was him. Really, that's the way it ought to be with Christians. Seriously. I mean, if we would show more kindness to the world, again, we sometimes, and I sometimes fall in that category. I think, you know, kindness, you know, just a nice words and a nice expression, but it should extend to our actions as well. It takes so little to be kind to people, to go out of our way just a little bit, you know? Where? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Yep, I may have. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So we're talking tonight, Colossians 3, put on kindness. Number one, our God is a God of kindness. We try to be more like God and more like the Savior all the time. Second, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we're truly born again, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, should allow us, enable us to produce kindness. Third and last point, all Christians should show kindness. We're going to look at a few more verses and then be done. First of all, it's part of our agape love for others. It's part of our agape love for others. You know the love chapter, right? Y'all familiar with the love chapter? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice what it says in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long, and here you go, and is kind. Kind. So if we're going to show forth that agape love, that self-sacrificial love to others, we need to do that by showing kindness. It shows people that we love them. And it goes on, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. But all Christians should show kindness. It's part of our agape love for others. Secondly, under this main point of all Christians should show kindness, it was exemplified by the people of Melita. You say, huh? In Acts chapter 28, I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 28. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. Acts chapter 28. Now, do you remember Paul and being shipwrecked on his way to Rome? Remember that? And how God said, you know, if they stay with the ship, no one's going to get killed, die. No one's going to die in this. And in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, the shipwreck has just occurred. Now, listen to this. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Now, this is Paul, shipwrecked with all the other prisoners and the guards. And it says, and the barbarous people showed us, now listen, no little kindness. So in other words, they didn't show them little kindness. They showed them great kindness. Now listen, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Well, what is kindness, right? Kindness starts with a smile, goes to our tongue, goes to our fingers, and goes to our feet, right? So they showed kindness by simply those people that were shipwrecked. It was rainy, it was cold, and these people of Melita built them a fire. That didn't sound too difficult, did it? But it made it in Scripture. Wow. There's a good example of kindness. You know, a lot, you may think, wait, what's he talking about? What are we talking about here? We're talking about, it can be this big, it can be this big, it can be this big. But we can show kindness. It's part of our agape love for others. It was exemplified by the people of Melita. Thirdly, it should be shown to other fellow Christians. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Now, you've heard this, but listen. Not only is the fruit of the Spirit, not only does God show kindness to us, but it says in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another." Now, I think the general context, of course, we're supposed to be kind to everybody, but this is writing to the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church. And I believe what he's saying is, within this church, fellow Christians, we're supposed to be kind to one another. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Kindness should be shown to other fellow Christians. You know, I've been doing this a while, and I've been in church my whole life. And can I tell you that kindness is not always shown to fellow Christians? Amen. You know, we get on some of these goofball tangents, you know, about color of carpet or what side the piano is supposed to be on or order of service. You know, we want this first. We want this first. And then we start, and we don't show kindness sometimes. Now, kindness is not just for the lost world to be seen in us. We should be able to see it in one another and treat each other with kindness. Now, hopefully we got that pretty good, but the devil will try to use that anytime he can and try to make us not show kindness. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything, but we still should show kindness, right? All Christians should show kindness. That's point number three. Under that, it's part of our agape love for others. It was exemplified by the people of Melita when they simply built a fire for these shipwrecked people that were cold and wet. Thirdly, under that main point, it should be shown to other fellow Christians to be kind one to another. And lastly, it should be an area of growth. It should be an area of growth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," or self-control, "and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness," there it is, "brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it says, you know, add this to your faith, add this to your life, add this and add this and add this and add this. Kindness should be part of our life. And it should be. We should be in the process of showing. You know, the older we get, we tend to get less kind because we have more aches and pains. Y'all agree with that? Am I completely right? I'm only 25, so I'm not sure I got that right. But I wanted to ask those that may be a little bit older here tonight. Don't you think it's probably a true statement that if we do the natural tendency thing, the older we get, the less kind we will be? Because we have those aches and pains and we may not feel good. And it's hard to be kind to people when you don't feel good. It's hard to smile when you don't feel good. It's hard to say nice things when you don't feel good, right? And maybe you got more worries and everything and things are going wrong and, you know, things like that. Maybe more as we get older. Perhaps it seems to me that it's harder to show kindness the older we get. But as a Christian, that doesn't necessarily have to be true. Because in the process of maturing and growing in Christ and adding these things and add to this, this, and add to this, this, brotherly kindness is in there. So we ought to make a point to make sure that we don't get old and, what was that word? Old and cranky. Instead of getting old and cranky, let's get old and kinder. Older and kinder. Older and kinder. How's that go? All right, tonight we've looked in particular, put on kindness. Our God is a God of kindness. Secondly, under put on kindness, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you've got the Holy Spirit living within you and you're saved, why would he tell us that we should have these fruit if it wasn't possible. It is possible.
You say, well, you just don't know. I grew up with cranky people. My mom was cranky. My dad was cranky. My brother and sister were cranky. So I'm going to be cranky.
Well, you can do that if you want to, but you, if you're a child of God, you have the opportunity and the power through God to not be cranky, but to be kind. And the third point under put on kindness, all Christians should show kindness. It's part of our agape love for others. It was exemplified by the people of Miletus simply by building a fire. It should be shown to other fellow Christians, and it should be an area of growth. Area of growth. Do you realize in this world, there is a lot of really, really discouraged people. I mean, I don't have the numbers here, but from everything that I'm hearing and every little bit I'm reading here and there, suicides are way up. And why are suicides way up since COVID? Why? Because people are discouraged, right? And depressed. They need kindness. Kindness. And even among Christians, sometimes you hear of people that are discouraged and depressed and down. They need kindness. And to be honest with you, I think every single one of us need people to be kind to us. I've been having, you know, sometimes I've had before days that are kind of like blah. You know, it's kind of, you know, it just seems like, you know, something is weighing on you and you're kind of blah. But sometimes you run across someone who shows you kindness. You know, there maybe they could be people even on the other end of the phone line that you're trying to resolve some issue because you got billed something you shouldn't have been billed with. But sometimes they're kind. And they're like, oh, we'll take care of that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're just, they show forth kindness. Now, I can't say that they're Christians, but you know what? If anybody should be show kindness, it should be a Christian. And I get off the phone or I get off talking to that person or encountering somebody, I'm like, things don't seem quite as bad as they did. Why? Because someone showed kindness. It's a big thing, really. It is. Kindness. It needs to start with a smile. It needs to extend to our tongue and kind words we say, to our hands for service, to our feet for going the extra mile. And I wanted to end with, I thought this was really, really good. This little illustration called the oil of kindness. The oil of kindness. There was an old man who carried a little can of oil with him everywhere he went. If he passed through a door that squeaked, he poured a little oil on the hinges. If a gate was hard to open, he oiled the latch. So he went through life lubricating all the hard places and making it easier for those who came after him. People called him eccentric, cranky, odd, other degrading names. But the old man went steadily on, refilling his can of oil when it became empty and oiling the hard places he found. He did not wait until he found a creaky door or a rusty hinge and then go home to get his oil. He carried it with him. There are many lives that creak and grate harshly every day and day by day. They need lubricating with the oil of kindness, gentleness, or thoughtfulness. That can of oil is predominantly one that characterizes the Christian life. The task of using it belongs to those who claim to be Christians. As the old man kept his oil with him, so we need to keep our Christian kindness handy. It does no good if left at home or in the church. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, let me ask you a question. We're supposed to put on kindness. Let me ask you, how are you doing in this area of being kind to other people? Now, I've emphasized several times it starts with a smile and goes to our tongue and the words we say, the kind words we're supposed to be saying and the things we should help with our hands and going out or going the extra mile with our feet. being kind to the people around you. Now, that starts with family, those that are closest to us. That extends to our church family. And that extends to every person that we encounter. How are you at being kind to the people around you? Could you do a better job? Like the old man with his can of oil in a world that is pretty cranky in itself, just using that oil of kindness to spread it. Could you do better? If you feel that you could, would you just take a moment, maybe say, God, forgive me for not being as kind as I should be in my words and in my actions and going the extra mile. And help me, Lord, to show kindness. Put it on every single day. Put on that kindness. Would you take just a moment and ask God to help you in this area of kindness? Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you prayed that prayer? Lord, help me to have more kindness in my life. How many of you prayed that prayer? Lord, help me. Help me to show forth more kindness. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else pray that prayer? Lord, help me to show forth more kindness. God bless you. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible, the exhortation that we see in Colossians 3 to put on kindness. Lord, we know it's possible. Sometimes it's tough, but we know it's possible because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. Lord, help us to be like you. You show us kindness. You even show the lost world kindness. But Lord, may we leave here tonight. May we get up in the morning and consciously thinking about putting that smiley face on, the beginning, the place it starts, the kindness, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name.